Hey, I'm Mike Myers, and this is the Songwriting for Guitar podcast, which is geared to support songwriters and producers to gain confidence and turn pro. I bring on industry experts to help you improve and monetize your skills, engage better in the writing process, and build healthy habits to create a sustainable career that you love. Caffeinated, inspirational, conversational. Hey, what's up, friends? Mike Myers here with the Songwriting for Guitar podcast, episode 107, Three Tips for Songwriting Progress. Now, in episode 105 and 106, we talked about putting in the work and why it's so important. Now, the next step is actually implementation, going ahead. And sometimes when you're looking at your songwriting process, you see like, oh, I've got to work on so many things. I've got to work on my melodies, my lyrics, my chord progressions. I don't know enough. I need to get better at my guitar. Oh my God, I got to also think about how am I networking with a... It's overwhelming. It can be tiring. It can be draining. So if I'm saying these things and you're kind of like feeling that anxiety, I want you to just take a deep breath with me. That's right. Just let that breath out, because we're going to give you three tips. These are three things that you can use no matter what level of songwriting you're at. These are going to be three things that are guiding, centering principles that no matter where you are in the process and no matter what type of songwriter you are, whether you're just a beginner, you're at that mid-range, or you're at that higher tier, these are three things you will consistently use to gain clarity on what you need to do. What is the thing that actually moves the needle forward? What is the thing that actually gets you to the next step? What is the thing that you crush so that you can move on to, well, the next thing? And I always love when my COO, Heather, joins me on these podcasts. So we're going to dive into it. Episode 107, Three Tips for Songwriting Progress.
The pollen in the air today is on high. So if I sneeze during this episode, please excuse me in advance.
Or we can edit it. Or keep it in for authenticity.
Keep it in. I'm all about being authentic.
All these podcasts editing the sneezes. You know that there's way more sneezes in these podcasts. I'm for authentic sneezes, not placed sneezes.
I know more people have allergies than this.
Well, we are going to talk about some amazing things, Heather. Amazing things.
Some amazing things, because these things can really get you your desired outcome.
And we've just come off of the streak of do the work. So if you're listening to this episode, hopefully you've listened to the first two episodes that I did with Josh about do the work. Okay, it's great to understand I need to do the work, but how the hell what do I do to make this happen? And how do I know that I'm putting in the work? What steps should I be taking? We're going to go through these and we're going to explain why these are important.
Yes. And we're going to keep it simple today, because a lot of the time when you're not doing the work, it's because you're pretty overwhelmed. And there's a lot of people telling you to do a lot of different things. And I'm sorry, a lot of people are telling you to do the wrong thing. So we're just going to keep it. We're going to keep it to three things.
I like that little side note. And it's true, because there's a lot of misinformation. Whether well-meaning or not well-meaning, people kind of, it looks Instagrammable and it sounds great, but there's very little to back up why that matters or if that actually does anything.
It gets attention.
And then it causes people to do things out of order, or to cause things that actually don't move the needle and don't really matter. And then they get frustrated and then they go, well, I guess I can't do this, which is silly. So we're going to simplify. And the first one is actually simplifying and getting very specific. See the setup to that? Simplify.
Look at that.
And when I mean simplify, okay, so let's say you want to do some form of writing, songwriting. That's great. Do you mean for a publisher? Do you mean for an artist? Do you mean for sync? You can't do all three of those things well at the same time. You're going to have to really focus in and pick a specific one that you want to get better. So let's say for the sake of this, you just want to work on your artistry. You want to develop your craft as a songwriter and your voice because you want to be the artist. Beautiful. That's amazing. Okay. So let's get even more specific. What do you mean by that? Well, I want to have an album. Okay, that's great. What do you, how many songs? I'd love to have 5 songs. Beautiful. How many songs do you have right now? 0. Cool. If you want to have 5 great songs, can we get specific and say you're going to maybe batch 20 to 30 songs and then choose the best 5? Yes. Wonderful. How many songs are you writing a week? I'm not writing a lot of songs a week. Cool. Can you try to write 1 song a week? Yes, I can. We just like whittled it down even more. What are topics you want to cover in the songs that you write? I don't know. Well, maybe we need to carve out the first week of just thinking about what are the things you want to write about and sing about that are meaningful to you. And I want you to spend every day just for 15 minutes, almost doing like a morning pages. And I want you to write out and I want you to think and I want you to allow yourself that time to get specific and be creative and just jot all the thoughts in your head for a week. And then let's take a look and see if we can piece these together in some fashion or form of topics you can start writing about and pick one. Not all, pick one and make that the focus song.
So you get simple and specific with what you're doing and what you want to do. And then I'd add to write it down.
Just write it down. I think people don't do this too because they're worried they're going to box themselves in.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, well, am I going to limit what the story is about? Am I going to limit? What if I feel like this moment of creativity and this other thing? If we all add all these addendums or just like all these like other things to it, it gets weighed down and never happens. And it ends up being very messy.
I think people are also scared about what if I don't do that? Then I wrote it down, it's official. I'm working towards that. What if it doesn't happen?
I translate what if it doesn't happen to what if it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what I translate to. I'm like, it'll happen. You may not like it, but then write another one. Take that piece that you just wrote and ask yourself. People always ask themselves what they like about it. What don't you like about it? Get specific. Don't just tell me it sucks. Tell me what you do not like. I don't like the lyrical structure. Okay, what don't you like about the lyrical structure? I feel I'm being too repetitive. Can you give me some examples of the song where you're repetitive? Yes, here, here, here. Okay, what can we do to change that? Well, I can say it here, but then when we get... And then suddenly the thing that you thought sucked, you thought through, you were able to think about a change you can make to move it in a direction that you're more excited about or you think sucks less.
And that's the power of self-reflection, self-awareness, or even having a coach or a guide to, if you're not good at self-reflection or awareness, you know.
I think a coach and a guide. I think early on, because we're so in our head, it's good to have someone looking in on the process purely because you want a coach that has made enough mistakes that they know all the stuff, like a good chunk of stumbling blocks they can tell you so that you do not make those mistakes. And that if you do them, you are going against their advice because you think you know better. And then you will realize, uh-oh, they were right. Gosh darn it.
Gosh darn it.
Gosh darn it. Right, I hate to swear time on this podcast. Like, that's gosh darn it. Swearing. I know.
You know, that was the premise of Do the Work, the Stephen Pressfield book, is to not get into your head, like take action. Don't listen to that resistance so much, because if you're listening to all that, then you're not going to take action. Then you're going to be stalled out.
And I think most people get stalled out before they even start.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably why they don't start. And then they try to regain all this like excited momentum to push themselves to get ready to get started. And then they stall themselves out again, and then they don't. And that's why you meet that same person that seems like every year they have the same kind of like the same thing that they say they're going to do. And this is the year, this is going to happen. And it's just like, and it never does. And it's because they're psyching themselves out so much.
I'm wasting all that energy.
You got to get specific, simplify. And I think we always fight that because we think, oh, that can't be the answer. It has to be more. We just don't like the answer because we don't like what it makes us do. it puts us in that spot that's like, ooh. But once you start to realize that simplifying is your, I know, do you like that? I'm like, ooh, that's the feeling that we don't like. But once we start to embrace that and we see, oh, that actually helps us a lot. And people actually love when we get specific, that a person that you meet that you could be a potential co-writer loves that that's one of your skills, is you get specific. You ask those questions, not only to yourself, but to them, which forces them to get clearer on what they're trying to write. And they enjoy being around you because you're not going to let them fall through the cracks or just get away with maybe having a co-write that could be a little bit more well-guided and more focused, and you're not willing to let it get kind of messy and sloppy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are we doing with this song? Simply, what are we doing with this? Where is it going at the end? What genre do we want to do?
We're laughing because it's like, oh, this totally makes sense. But it's still jaw-dropping when somebody goes, oh, that's a good question. I never thought of that. It's like, what? And because we just don't ask the obvious. We need to. And I think it'll also prevent us from pairing with people that may not be a good pair. And we can be mature and just be like, hey, listen, I just don't, you know, you want to write, you know, country pop. I want to write some skate rock, skate punk. We might not be a great collaboration. Mm-hmm. There we go. One's neither better nor greater than the other. You can part amicably, as they say, and just move your separate ways. So I think simplification should always be at the top of your list. And this is something that you can do. And the reason we're talking about this is it's March as we're recording this. So at the end of March, this is essentially, you know, or maybe around I think March or April is like we're getting towards the end of like the first quarter of business. And if you want to professionally songwrite, you know, it's good to treat, you know, each quarter is just like an evaluation, just a little metric to measure. And if you start with simplification, you'll hit the mark a lot more.
Mm-hmm. And you had a really great point. And if you know what you want to do and your co-writer knows what they want to do and it doesn't mash up or mm-hmm. line up, that goes right into that second point that, do you use your time and energy wisely?
The steward of time.
Are you a steward of your time?
Steward of your time, sir. Are you using it wisely? So it's just like, it's a disservice to them if they don't want to do what you do and you don't want to do what they do. Why would you waste time trying to write a song? Because neither of you are going to be happy with what you get. You could still hang out. You can still, you know, me on Zoom, you can go get a coffee,
for
you can
sure.
go get a drink, you can hang out. I have lots of friends that I love that we're not in the same camp of what we want to write. Or they do a thing that I do, and it's kind of silly if we're sitting there both doing the same thing and all these other areas of the song that need attention, no one's doing. That's just like, that's awful. It's like, you know, building a house and all the contractors you hire are all painters. It's just a whole bunch of people just sitting around being like, well, you know, the foundation. No, I don't know. I'm not saying all painters talk like that. All painters talk like this. But it's also the time that you have. And I really thought a lot about this one element, because I think one objection I get to people either starting songwriting, committing to it, pushing themselves, is because they say, I don't have enough time. And it's not that they don't have enough time. They're just not using the time they currently have really well. So if you have a full-time job, which I did in a past life, I did marketing from 11 to 2:30-ish. And then from 3 until usually 9 p.m., it was straight teaching. Straight through. Okay, so that means that the window that I had to write was either morning, very early morning, or very late in the evening. So I had to make it work. And so I had to choose the time, and usually it was late evening. And I had to really make sure that it was clear on what we were going to do, because the window I had for energy was very minimal, if that. But I'd paired myself through mistakes and learning, I paired myself with the right people so that when we sat down, we did get a song and it was moving in the right direction. We felt good about it and we knew what the next steps were because we were clear and we were talking before we met. We were sharing ideas so that if we met very early in the morning or late at night, we already had a plan in place.
Bam.
And if we had references, which most of the time we did, I was listening to that on the drive to work. I was listening to that while my headphones were on and I was doing all this marketing stuff and like taking care of our Facebook account and meetings in between where it was just typing emails. I had my headphones in just listening to the references. If I had a couple moments between, if a student didn't show up, which occasionally happened, I would pull up the reference, grab my guitar and start playing through the reference and being like, just reminding myself, just making sure I was super familiar so that my role, I was clear when we sat down and I could lead it in a way that was efficient and not like I was stumbling around in that moment. Oh, let me listen to the reference again. So that when I suddenly had more time and I had the ability and I was able to listen to things more at my leisure and do it at an hour that was an acceptable and write songs at an acceptable hour, I was able to do it really well because I was able to do it really well in the awkward moments or those small moments of time.
And I bet you felt really good after that because what I didn't hear you say was if a student showed up, I would just scroll through social media. I would waste a half hour. I mean, like, I'm here, so I can't do anything else. You're like very resourceful. That's a great technique.
It comes down to how bad do you really want to do it? And for me, I was like, I want to, you know, I enjoyed what I did for a time, but after a while, it just like I could tell I was phoning it in and I was just getting really exhausted. And I was like, I don't want to do this. So I'm going to find every possible moment I can utilize to advance where I want to go. And I think it's so easy for us to just, we don't even realize that we pick up our phone, we look at something and we scroll. And before we knew it, we wasted 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Well, nothing really would have gotten, it's an excuse. And I'm not saying do not take care of yourself. What I found through people that have mentored me really well and the ones that do this, they put in the hard work, which means they utilized every little bit of time they could, even if it wasn't, you know, hours upon hours. If it was 2 hours, they used those 2 hours well. So looking for time you already have so that when you get that perfect scenario where you have so much time that you're not, you know, you're not abusing it or just using it sloppily, I guess is a word. Because, honestly, it won't get to that point because you didn't use the time well. It's like you're not going to stumble into lots of time. You're just going to end up having the time you currently have because if you can't use that, you probably won't get out of the scenario that you're currently in and you'll just end up stopping the pursuit. Or pursuit, as you say. And it would just be like, you just go like, well, I guess this is what I do. And then you go home and you veg and watch TV or something.
Which is easy, which is so easy to do. And it's so easy to fall back into if you don't have good habits and if you don't have time management skills or you don't have the tools in order to actually put in the work.
And you're not around people that are doing the opposite. When you're around a lot of people that just accept like, it's okay. And I'm not saying that you have to feel bad about it, but if they go like, don't worry about it, just let's just chill today. And then chill becomes the same thing the next day, and then the next day, and the next day. That's where it's like, it's good to be around someone that goes like, or you could, how about you just don't turn on TV? Are you going to watch anything new? Or are you going to go back to the same things that you watched before? And I don't know, even now I got there's more time available, but as you know, I don't really watch, it's rare for me to be like, Heather, I watch a new show or watch, I don't, because I just don't see the benefit of it.
Well, because you're super motivated first, you know what you want, you are super clear about where you want to go. And so when you look at that, you go, okay, well, I might relax for a little bit, but then really, is that getting me any closer to my goal? No. And you surround yourself with people, like you're just saying to your point, you surround yourself with people who are motivated,
yeah,
have a clear goal with you, you know?
Yeah. So that's all I mean, that's what I currently have to say about time. I'm sure I could say more, but it's, you have time currently, whether you realize it or not. You just have to sit in and say, like, if I eliminated right now scrolling, and a lot of it is, sometimes doom scrolling, sometimes whatever it is, eliminated that and got rid of at least 2 shows a week, or just eliminate, what time do I have? When does work actually start? When am I actually working? And when do I have some free time in between? Is there anything I can do on the drive to listen to? Is there anything that I can, because there's actually tons of things you can be doing. But until you write it down and until you actually like see it, you go, oh, wow, I actually have a lot more time than I realize. If I simplify and get clear and utilize the time that I have, you may get to what we're going to talk about, which is a result. Those two things, I'm 100% like confident when it comes to simplifying and being clear on the time that you have, it will get a result. Now, it may not be the perfect result you want. It may not be the thing that you really hope for, but don't dismiss it so quickly, because you can look at, let's say in this case, since we're talking about songwriting, you go, listen, Mike, I got clear on what I wanted to write for myself. I took that time. I journaled. I then picked some topics. I then wrote, I'm not at 30 songs. You said 30 songs. I was able to get myself 5 songs. Out of those 5 songs, there are 2 that I don't mind, but I'm not crazy about them. My question would be, props to you for starting. Awesome. What don't you like about those 2 songs in particular? And what do you like about them? Because you singled them out. Well, you'll probably start with what you don't like. I don't like the lyrics, and I don't like I feel it's too da da da. Okay, what can we do to change that? Is there anything that you can do right now? Or do you like the concept and some of the melody? And would it be easier to just build and start fresh, but take that same concept and that melody and build something new? Or would you rather go in and take those lyrics and rework them? I probably would like to insert your answer. The result, whether you want that exact result or it gets you a little bit, you can still take something from it as long as you're applying the simplification and being clear on the time. Mm-hmm. You're going to start to move closer and closer to what you want. But like all things, when you get started, it's not going to be perfect. It's not even perfect when you're getting to a level that you want.
Of course.
But can you get something from it? Most of the time we can, but we're just so quick to dismiss it as, oh, it's not working. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it's not good. He said 30 and I only got 5. Okay, you got 5. That's not bad. Well, 5 is better than none, in my opinion. 30 is unrealistic. Okay, well, were you able to carve out a time weekly where you could write, maybe not every day, but every other day, maybe every 2 days? I don't know. Okay, can we maybe plan your week to maybe work around that goal? Could we move some things around? Could there be 2 days where we just, 2 days in your week where you just don't, do any TV when you get home from work, but instead maybe you go outside, you take a walk, and then you come back in and you listen to some references that you like, and then you maybe then get a couple ideas for, there's usually a solution. Most of the time, there is a solution. And when I say most of the time, 99.999% of the there is a solution. It's harder to find the solution when it's just you. You have to be extremely motivated to figure it out. Or you could go to someone that's doing the thing that you want to do, and you can go, can you help me? Can I get you as my coach? And can you come into my world and see what I'm doing so that I can move ahead and not make some of the mistakes that you made, but also be aware of what I'm doing right now that I should fix and what could be potential roadblocks in future. I have to be honest, there is one thing that's super frustrating for me. And that's when I see a songwriter waste thousands upon thousands of dollars on a song or songs that are not ready to be produced, that still need things changed. The chord progressions, the melodies, some of the lyrical tweaks need changed. And have they just spent some time getting the appropriate amount of feedback and implementing those changes? Those songs could have been way better. And more importantly, they could have written maybe one or two more that would have crushed it. So when they moved on production, it would have been easy. Listen, spending thousands of dollars on really good production is not going to fix a bad song. And I mean that with the most love. You need feedback. You need to know what's working for your song and what's working against it so you can make those changes, so you can go and crush it. That's why I want you to go to songwritingforguitar.com and then click Song Critique and book a critique with Josh or Madeline. Get that feedback so that you can start implementing it. Also, write some more songs. Take that feedback and write even better songs so that when you walk into that studio, you can feel super confident that you have done everything to make the song kick ass, so that everything that you're investing, all your time, your money, your energy, your resources, you can go into this world and this songwriting world freaking confident. So songwritingforguitar.com and book your critique today. People think sometimes, well, coaching means you're going to tell me the right people. No, it's going to tell you what needs to change and what you need to be working on and what I didn't do and the mistakes I made. And if you don't do this one thing, guess what? It's going to save you a lot of pain and may actually get you ahead further.
So the question you need to keep on asking yourself is, am I seeing some progress? It's not, did I totally reach my goal and that's the end of the questioning. It's, what progress have I made? Am I seeing any progress? And so then once you start making progress, then you have something to work with, but you're not going to identify a problem and you're not going to identify a solution if you haven't started with anything. You have to start recognizing the progress that you have made, because you probably have made more than you think.
Because when we're looking at it, we don't see it. We're just like, you know, it's just really tough. But when you have somebody looking in, like for instance, in Accelerated, Josh and I run this program, Accelerate, which is running, you know, you're writing the briefs and every month, and it's like 7 months in, and there are some folks that are getting really good because they have built a system and they have a specific time and they're focused on one thing and one thing only, and that's writing a great song to fit this brief, not producing it out, not trying to pitch it, just focusing on the soul, just writing. That is it. And getting specific on what their role is and pairing themselves and doing it well are the ones that are pairing themselves wisely with the right people and co-writing monthly, getting ahead faster. Yes. Are the ones that are pairing themselves with a co-writer, getting ahead faster, especially when they implement specific feedback. Yes. Are they writing better songs? And it's funny because some of them are like, oh, you like the song this month. Like you liked this. And it's like, yes, because you've been applying literally everything that we've told you. And so if you do that for 7 months in a row, do you think you can get in a better spot? Yeah. Then it suddenly makes sense. But they're so in the process. Sometimes it can just be like, oh, I'm just doing the thing.
You don't recognize it. What was that Josh coined this term recently? I think it was poptimist.
Oh, yeah.
So are you a pessimist or an optimist? And he'd rather you be right down the middle. He'd rather you be a little bit of an optimist and a little bit of a pessimist. So it's like the pessimist side of you is like, what's not working? Mm-hmm. Which means that you've already been problem solving, which already means that you've already been aware of what's going on. And then an optimist is, what am I doing right? What is the progress that I'm making? So I love that term, a poptimist.
You have to be, because you can't live in a fantasy land that everything will be perfect, because it won't be.
Because then you won't solve anything.
That's the thing too. And the thing that you need to lean into, it has to be, you have to be willing to solve it. If you don't want it to be solved and you want it handed to you, you're not going to get anywhere. And that's usually where people drop off too, because they want it handed to them And when it's, well, that's not how it works, and that actually doesn't serve you because nothing will happen. Or you'll attract a lot of people that'll be like, well, could you get me that result? Can you help me? And then suddenly you're like, oh, I don't know how that worked. It was just given. But I always find it interesting to people that when it comes to like CEOs or people that start businesses that had a business and they lost, you know, whatever million. And then they made it again because they were just like, oh yeah. And then I lost and then I started again. Now, I'm not saying it's just like, that's what it's like in songwriting, but I just love that concept of, yeah, it didn't work and it fell apart, but I'm not worried about that. I can build it again. I'll probably build it better and it'll probably last long. That's how songwriting is. The one you write right now is your best song, but the best song that you're going to write will probably be the one tomorrow, the next day, and you'll be crazier about it. It'll be more exciting because you just keep on implementing. So if we were to recap.
Recap.
Is getting specific. You have to lean into getting specific. If you don't, you will be consumed by everything and you'll try to do everything and nothing will advance. You're not doing a disservice. You're not limiting yourself. You're actually helping yourself get to where you want to go quicker because you're really honing in. So get specific.
Specific and simplify.
Yeah. You're simplifying and it's just boiling down so that if somebody came to you and asked you, what are you doing right now? You could really answer in a sentence or two and not, well, see the thing and like this long paragraph
this,
of just
and then this and then this, 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 this.
And it's
like fireworks.
It's like fireworks. Boom, boom, boom. So you're not really doing anything specific or moving towards what you want.
You're just keeping busy.
I hate that phrase, busy. I'm so busy. No, 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 no. Okay, so let's move on to time management. Steward of time.
Be number a steward two. Of your time.
and look for the time that you already have. I think for a lot of people, they're probably not in a place yet where they can go quit their job. The question that I want to ask is, from the time that you currently do have, what can you devote to your writing and your process, to the thing that you're getting very specific and boiling down and you're simplifying? What can we do with the time that you have to make it work, to move closer and closer to what you want to see happen? Is there anything you can do? Because most likely there is. And if you start implementing that, you're also going to feel good. I don't think we mentioned that too. When you start dedicating just a little bit of that time, you feel really excited because you're like, yeah, it was 20 minutes, but I got a good chorus.
Yes, it feels so much better to do that and get something done rather than just like scrolling and consuming content or just wandering around.
Because we don't feel good. We're just like, I feel tired. Or it's just like we're looking at other people. They're like, oh, they're in a rate right now.
Oh, that looks the worst. Fun.
Oh, they just released a single. They're really good. They got a placement. Oh, that's really good.
I can't
it's
do that.
Just like, and so we just
rabbit
spent time,
hole.
Yeah. And meanwhile, they probably posted it, but then they moved on to do the other thing. Because what's not Instagrammable is them in between the thing doing the work late at night, and they're in their jammy jams, but they're still doing the work because they know once they're done, they're gonna be exhausted, they're gonna go to bed. That's not Instagrammable. So you caught them on a grammable moment. There's lots of ungrammable moments. Oh,
I like the lingo. A grammable moment.
It's a grammable moment. I'm trying to like trademark that. It's a grammable moment. And there's a lot of stuff that isn't because it's just work. But that's the importance of looking in on the time that you have. And I always say when someone goes, oh, I don't have a time. No, no, no. We sit down, we look, and I'm like, see, there's like 5 pockets of time you could be utilizing right now. So looking for that time. And then finally, the result. Are you getting a result? Are you moving slowly? Because it probably will be slowly at first in the direction of what you want. Because most likely you are. It may not be the perfect result, but there's absolutely something you can take away to help improve so that as you continue to get specific and simplify, and you are using your time wisely, your results get better and better. I can say that with certainty because the productions I built out at the beginning were awful. They were terrible because I was trying to do everything in so many different genres. But once I simplified and got specific and used my time well to focus in, I was able to dial in instrumentation a lot better. I was able to build out arrangements a lot better. And suddenly it got to a level where it was able to pass on to a mixer, and then he could mix it and he didn't have to add extra stuff to like amp it up. But that was after refining and, you know, looking in and looking at the result. Am I happy? You know what? I probably need to get less busy in this. Okay, there we go. I probably need to add more layers. I could look and know what area needed fixing. Mm-hmm. So the result still gave me something that I could use, whether it be eventually pitchable or I could use it to improve what I was doing to make it better.
Yep.
It's so important because I think everybody wants to make it more complicated, because if they make it complicated, they won't feel so bad if they don't have the time to do it.
Yeah. And if they don't reach, that's such a good point. If you make it so complex and so out of the realm of possibility for you, it's like easy just to say, oh, well, you know, I didn't do it, because it's, you know, it's just like too hard.
Once I have more time. Then I'm like, oh, then it won't, because you never will. Hit the lottery and magically. Yeah, but even then you won't know how to use it, because you still have, you didn't even know what to do with the small little amount that you had. Mm-hmm. And that sucks, but that's how it goes.
So you need a little bit of bravery to be like, you know what? Maybe I am complicating this. What do I actually need to do? Who do I actually need to reach out to? Do I need to put myself out there?
This is a wholehearted.
Yes. This is a coming to the realization, though, you know, it's what do you really want to do this? Are you motivated to do this? Is this exciting to you? Are you willing to put in the work? And what does that take? Is it that complicated? Or do you just really need to do a few things and just get your butt moving?
And this is what I wanted to say to the group that may be listening, that go almost that realization moment of, I've been wasting my time. Do not look at what you've wasted. Just realize that you have the epiphany and like the, oh, I need to start doing this. Do not reflect on, well, here's all this time I wasted.
And bam, that's progress in itself.
Exactly. One thing that I'm aware of, because I saw that so much when teaching guitar, I would have a ton of people that on the outside had very successful corporate jobs, that were doing very well, that had corporate cars, that were living in really good places. And their story would talk about, I started to do this thing and I stopped and I need to start this again. And they're in their mid, you know, kind of that midlife of, I wonder what would have happened if I had started. And it was like, oh, wow. And so
that sounds terrible.
It is. I'm not saying feel bad and look at all these people that have, you know, successful corporate jobs that hate their life. But if you want to entertain the idea of doing this for a living and seeing where it goes, you have to start and build a system. And if you can start with these three things, you have the best chance of getting there.
Do it now. Do it now.
You have to start doing this now and actually make the commitment to it. Because if you don't, you never will. And then I hate to think about people that towards the end go like, man, I wonder what would have happened had I just done XYZ. Or, you know, because I'm not going to sit there at the end of my life and be, man, I watched all the seasons of Gilmore Girls several times. What a memorable, memorable scene. Yeah. I just pulled that out. I've never watched an episode, but I know there's a lot. There's
good.
Many episodes.
It's good.
You're like, you're missing. And this is where
I used to watch that all the time in high school.
But you get the idea where I'm like, there's, I'm not saying that you can't always watch, but is that the best use? Especially if you have that, like, you want to, and your time is limited and you feel like you're spinning your wheels. If you start with the two things, you will get the result that we're saying, a result that you can start to utilize and move in a direction.
I'll just keep on propelling you forward.
It does. It is very much like a snowball effect where it keeps on propelling. And then
it's awesome.
I don't know. Then you suddenly are like, oh, wow, I get to do this a little bit more. And for me, it was the cutback. I was able to cut back what I was doing a little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit. And then eventually take that jump of like, cool, I can do this on full time. So I'm gone. And no more kids sneezing on keyboards.
No.
No more. No, no more.
Full circle. They had allergies, Mike. It's not their fault.
So, you know what? There are some kids that did have year-round perpetual allergies and just sneezing on keyboards. Or I think the best was one coughed in my face.
Oh, no.
I remember Reese, I was showing him a cord and I was like, you put your fingers. And I was just like, I was like, I tasted that cough and I am
I
now.
Tasted it.
And I am, oh, no. I now have whatever you have. So gaining insight in this podcast on three things and also to why I was sick all the time.
And just use those motivations, those little things that you just can't stand about where you are right now. Just put it into more reason to get motivated and excited about where you're going.
Find a friend and have them cough in your face and you go like, I'm not taking it anymore.
You're coughing in my face once a week until I reach my goal.
You know, okay, so I'll end on this. This is it. That sounds like a old story. One of my favorite stories. I think it's like, I know, this will make sense.
Yes.
It is, I forget what ancient story this is, but it's a man, he was walking through the forest, he gets lost. And eventually it's late at night and he finds his way towards kind of like a military post or station. And then a soldier goes, hey, who are you and what are you doing here? And then the guy looks up, goes, what did you say? And then the guy from the siege tower goes, who are you and what are you doing? And then he looks up and he goes, how much are they paying you? And the soldier goes, and he says his rate. And he goes, okay, cool. I will pay you that every day if you ask me those two questions. So,
yes,
there we go.
I love it. I love it. Goes back to implementation, accountability.
Boom, boom, boom. So,
listener, you got this. You want to do this. Otherwise, you wouldn't be making it to the end of this podcast. And know you have a goal.
Exactly. And if you're looking for resources, go to songwritingforguitar.com. Song critique. Song critique. Just click that little button. Book yourself a song critique. Or if you're someone that's like, listen, I want a little bit more. I want some more. Just go to Songwriting for Guitar. Click coaching. You can scroll all the way down. You can book a session with Heather for implementation. You can start to implement things. If you want to get into advanced production, you can, you know, fill out my coaching application. There's a wait list, but I go through it. We book call, we talk, and we get to know more of you. Maybe you want to hook up with Josh and Sync. Maybe you want to learn from Lainey and Topling. Maybe you want to learn from Madeline and Daw. There's tons of things at your fingertips.
We've got it all, songwriter.
But you got to go to songwritingforguitar.com first to make it happen. So, Heather, thank you for joining on this episode. This was good.
You are welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right, and that does it for this week's episode. It was edited and produced by Chris Fafalius. I'm Mike Myers. Thanks for listening.